All right. Man, y'all pray for me, man, because let me tell you something, man. When they put them braids in your head, the struggle is real, man. I can't feel my scalp. I said, Sheree, what you doing up there, Sheree? Lord have mercy. Somebody got some Motrin? Like the lady do that. All right. Well, let's go. If I'm a little off tonight, y'all gonna know why. I'm joking. I don't rely on that. I rely on the Spirit. You know? So, come on, let's look at 2 Samuel 18:16. And we're gonna read a little bit. The Bible says, and Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel. For Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Now Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Father, we pray that you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. We pray it bring you glory, and we pray it save the souls of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in 2 Samuel, and we've just been kind of going through David's life. And we're in one of the low points in David's life where he's actually getting the retribution for his sin with Bathsheba. And part of that, amen, would be that his own son would rebel against him. And so we've been looking at Absalom's rebellion, amen, and just looking at the civil war, amen, and all that followed. We saw Absalom during the battle get stuck in a tree. Joab deciphered and was figured out where he was, and actually he killed Absalom, him and his armor bearers, even though David had specifically commanded him to leave the young man alive. Well, Absalom is killed, amen, and we just wanted to talk about his legacy a little bit, what he left behind. And so we started off last time with Absalom's legacy, part one. We're going to do Absalom's legacy, part two, tonight. Now, to understand Absalom's legacy, amen, we focused upon, amen, his rebellion and his rebellious life. We pointed out, amen, hallelujah, 4 points, amen. We did a little road map, and we wanted to talk about 4 points. We wanted to talk about rebellion in general. Number two, rebellion accomplishes nothing. Number three, which we'll pick up today, rebellion ends in a pit. And number four, rebellion leaves us with a fool's legacy. And if you remember when we discussed rebellion in point number one, I'm going to kind of recap just to bring us right back in that place where we left on Tuesday. Rebellion is a resistance or a defiance to lawful authority. It's a resistance or a defiance to lawful authority. And we talked about the different realms, the different quadrants, the different spectrums of authority. God, of course, is the number one top authority. But after God, amen, we have a familiar authority in our families, amen. Parents, husbands represent authority in the house. We also have ecclesiastical authority, a church, whether it's the pastor, first lady, minister, the deacons, amen. That's representative of ecclesiastical authority. On your job, you have authority, your supervisors, managers. That's what's called vocational authority. In school, if you're a student, you have your teachers, faculty, and staff, amen, educational and administrative authority. We also have governmental authority. All those realms of authority fall under God's authority. And when we disobey, defy, or resist any of those realms of authority, that's what's called rebellion. Somebody say rebellion. Now, if you remember, one of the most famous scriptures about rebellion, we covered it last time. For rebellion, 1 Samuel 15:26, for rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. That's right. And we taught you last time that a lot of the words in that text right there are in italics when you look at it in the original King James. And whenever words are in italics, they've been added for easy reading. But what the Bible is really saying there in the Hebrew is rebellion is witchcraft. Amen. It is witchcraft. And so not only is rebellion, amen, resisting God, but it also classifies itself in one of the sins that we find so diabolical, which is witchcraft. All right? And so that's what it is. You say, Pastor, how is rebellion witchcraft? Well, witchcraft is all about control. All right? We talked about it, putting salt in your house when people leave so they won't come back, burying chicken legs, putting somebody something in their drink so they could like you. Well, what you're trying to do, you're trying to control them. Amen? And that's all rebellion is. Rebellion says, no, I won't listen to you, but I'm going to control you. You know what I'm saying? And that's all that is. And God says, listen, when you practice that, that is what we call witchcraft. All right? We said, y'all, that every single person on the planet is under somebody, all right? No matter who you are, no matter how high you are, amen, on the food chain, you under somebody. And if you ain't under a man or a woman, you for sure under God, all right? And so we all need to learn about rebellion, and we all need to learn, hallelujah, not to walk in it, but also in leadership, how to be able to tell when people are rebelling against us. It gives us, amen, a platform, amen, of knowledge. And we looked at the different kinds of rebellion, okay? And we all fall into one of these categories. We got the hood, loud rebellion, amen, where you snap your finger and you twist your head, you know. I'm just not going to do it. I don't care what you say, all right? We got the quiet rebellion. The one where you can barely talk, amen, and people can't hear you. But in your heart, amen, you say, I might be sitting down in the physical, but I'm standing up on the inside, all right? You're one of those quiet rebellious people. You have manipulative rebellion, persistent rebellion, team rebellion, tantrum rebellion, amen. And you can kind of get the CD and figure out where you fall in these categories, amen. What are we talking about tonight? Rebellion. That's right. If you remember, we said in our second point, rebellion accomplishes nothing. And we saw that after Absalom rebelled against his dad, he took the kingdom away. By the time it was all said and done, when the dust had settled and everything had cleared up, David got the kingdom right back, and Absalom had done absolutely nothing. Whenever we rebel, amen, that's what happens. We kick up a lot of dust, but we don't accomplish anything. There's no success that's tied to it. Amen. You're just running in place and making a whole bunch of noise. Amen. And we gave the example of Satan. Amen. Rebelled, but at the end, God's still going to win. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ain't nothing changes. He's still sovereign. The elect's still going to be saved. And everybody that's with the devil going to end up in hell. Amen. That's the way it is. You don't accomplish anything. Amen. And the same thing with us. Whether you find yourself, amen, rebelling against your parents, young person, it ain't going to accomplish nothing. If you find yourself rebelling, amen, against your husband, the head of household, you're not going to accomplish nothing. In fact, your prayer is going to be hindered, and y'all going to find yourself married 20 years, not moving or going anywhere. Still stuck in the same hole that you was, amen, because y'all ain't learned teamwork. Yet, you see, teamwork make the dream work. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. If you would just allow the Holy Ghost to lubricate your marriage and stop the friction. Amen. And allow y'all to work together. Amen. You'd be surprised what you can accomplish. Amen. Amen. I look at me and First Lady and I tell y'all all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. We strength on strength. Hallelujah. And when we button heads, amen, listen, ain't nothing going to get done. Amen. But when you put, hallelujah, two of them horses together on a load, amen. One horse by himself could pull one ton. But two horses, and I ain't say horse, no, horse, two horses. All right? Hallelujah. Can pull, hey, God, what is it, four tons, amen? Because they encourage each other. All right? When y'all going to learn how to work together and encourage one another, huh? Huh, Brother Steve, just getting it together on that road together, amen, grinding together, Amen. You'd be surprised at what you could do. Amen. But we have to understand God's order of things. A two-headed monster is a monstrosity. Amen. It's something that God did not create. Hallelujah. He's created an order even to the household. Rebellion accomplishes nothing, saints. And it's not just in your families, amen, but whether it's on the job, it won't accomplish anything for your career. Whether it's at school, it won't accomplish anything for your academics. Amen. Whether it's in church, rebellion destroys churches, amen. The gates of hell can't prevail against the church, Harvey. No, the devil can't destroy the church. But you know who can destroy the church? Us. The people on the inside of it. Amen. And he know that. Amen. So what he do, he caused division inside the church. He caused, amen, factions inside the church. Schisms within the body. Amen. And when your body fight against itself, amen, even the natural body, when it fight against itself, amen, autoimmune deficiency, when your immune system began to fight against it, your own body, hey, God, until that stop, amen, you're not going to be healthy. And if they don't stop it, you're not going to live for very long. So listen to me good. Rebellion in the church, just like in heaven, amen, causes a lot of trouble. Amen. So let's be one, saints. Let's be one. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, listen, let's look at our third point. We'll cover our third point, our fourth point. Amen. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be that long. Amen. And then we can get out of here. I say it shouldn't. We're going to keep it open. Amen. But let's just see what the Spirit do tonight. We want to look at our third point. Rebellion ends in a pit. It ends in a pit. The Bible says about Absalom in verse 17. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. You see, saints, usually when kings die and when royalty pass away, amen, the people make a big to do about the passing away of their leaders. Amen. Kings are given the most elaborate funerals. People from the whole nation come. Even to this day, amen, our leaders are held in state where people will come in and view from all over the country. And that's the way it was with the Hebrews as well. And they would not only give them an elaborate funeral, but they would bury them in elaborate tombs. Amen. They would bury them in the king's sepulchres. You see what I'm saying? Not only in the king's sepulchre, but they had a certain city that the kings would be buried in. You'd be buried in the city of the kings, in the tombs of the kings. Amen. With an awesome, amen, home going. But as we look at Absalom, amen, he was a king for a brief time, but hallelujah, nonetheless, he was royalty. He was for sure the king's son. But he didn't get the royal treatment, amen, that he was supposed to get. He didn't get the tomb he was supposed to get. He wasn't buried in the city he was supposed to be buried in, amen. The Bible says that they took his body and they cast him into a great pit. He was buried as though it was on the side of the road, y'all. He was thrown in the woods. He was thrown in some hole in the ground. It don't even tell us exactly where it is. It just say a great pit. Amen. And it shows me, amen, that no matter how much potential you have, no matter how much excellency you have on the inside, or it don't matter who your mama and your daddy are, amen. It don't matter what your last name is, amen. You could be the son and the daughter of great people, but rebellion will suck all of that out you, and you'll end up in a pit somewhere. You end up in a ditch somewhere. You end up in the woods somewhere. That's Absalom. And I want to talk to our young people in here. Your mom and daddy can't do nothing for you. They can do their best to train you in the way that you should go, but at the end of the day, it's your decision which way you take. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? You can take the right way or the wrong way. Amen. But I want Absalom's story to stand as a testimony for you. I don't want you to ever come up here and say that you didn't know where the end of the road was taking you. Amen. Oh, no, 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 no. This is the end of the road of sin. This is the end of the road of rebellion. The end of the road of rebellion against God's lawful authority in your life is a pit. Is a pit. Listen to me good. And it's not just for our young people. Amen. It's for the men of God in here rebelling against God. It's for the women of God. Amen. Rebelling against husbands and jobs and everything else. You'll end up in a pit. And what this shows me, amen, is that not only will God withhold blessings from your life. Amen. Because that's what rebellion does. You don't end up accomplishing anything. It withholds success. Amen. But another revelation is that not only will he withhold some things from you, but he's going to give you some other things. Amen. And what I'm talking about is judgment. I'm talking about punishment. I'm talking about chastisement. And this is why, amen, us as people, God's people, we need to really get this lesson. Because none of us want to be judged by God. None of us want to be punished by God. None of us want to be chastened by our Father. And whenever we rebel, judgment and chastening is on the way. They buried him. They didn't even bury him. They threw him in a hole, y'all. A hole in the ground. I also think about how beautiful Absalom was. Huh? The Bible tells us, amen, that there was none, hallelujah, so beautiful as him. Uh-huh, Paul, could they say from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Amen. I don't know if he had braids. Amen. I don't know. Amen. But there was none like him in all of Israel. Huh? Flawless, they called him. And his hair was like none other. But I want you to look at what happens to that flawless body. I want you to look at what happens to that beautiful hair. Amen. He's thrown in a hole in the woods for animals and insects to eat on. Listen to me good. I don't care how you look on the outside tonight. I don't care how you look on the outside tonight. I don't care about your complexion, how your hair is. Listen, hallelujah. Yes, we want to look good. Amen. But listen, your looks can only take you so far. Unless you get with God and build yourself some godly character, that beautiful hair and beautiful body going to end up in a pit somewhere. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me up in here? Listen to me good. You don't have no idea how many people start off looking like, amen, I'm talking about Hollywood stars, all right? But the wrong decisions in life. You ever went online and looked at the before and after pictures of some people? Amen. Listen, we'd be in court, amen, with Judge Saloom or with some of the other judges, and they would show me pictures of people. And this was her before she got on drugs, and this was him before. And did you ever saw those pictures? You ever saw that? You know the message I have tonight? You give the devil your body. You lend it to him and see what he's going to do with that body. You see what he's going to do with that body. He's going to run you dry till you have nothing else to give. Anybody hear me up in here? And the fact of the matter is, we got people in here, in this church, right here tonight, amen, who lent their bodies to the devil for a season. Huh? And could come up here better than me and testify what they received from the devil for lending the devil. Let the devil rent out their car. Rent out the body they call. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what they did. They played Enterprise for a few years. And you got to know when people rent cars, they don't take care of cars. And the devil ain't taking care of your body. All right? He'll trash it. All right? Now, the beautiful thing about it is if you're here tonight, amen, and the devil still got a lease on your body, you can cancel that lease tonight. You can cancel that lease tonight, amen. And you can give your body, amen, a new lessor. You can lease it out to Jesus tonight. You can get Jesus a rental agreement on your body. You can present your body to him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the good thing about God, when God leases your body, hallelujah, God don't abuse you. He don't use you and he don't abuse you. In fact, he blesses your body. Amen. He restores the years that the locust and the cankerworm had eaten. He bring your youth back. Hey, like the eagles. Anybody hear me up in here? Hallelujah. He could take back what the devil tried to steal from you. All right? And so it's a message of hope on every level. Amen. On the front end, don't let him have your body. You'll end up like Absalom in a ditch somewhere. Used and abused. Hallelujah. But on the back end, if you hadn't been as wise to give your body, hallelujah, present your body to Jesus just yet. Hey, God, it's not too late. And tonight, amen, hallelujah, at the end of the service, you'll be able to get a new contract, get a new agreement. And he'll, hallelujah, restore, hallelujah, all that the devil took from you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah, yeah. That beautiful hair and flawless physique was thrown in the ditch. Amen. Listen to me good, saints. God will not only withhold blessings because of rebellion, but he will judge and he will personally punish and chasten. He will bring consequences as well. Listen, at our little school, PCA, we teach our youngsters, amen, about the umbrella of authority. Hallelujah. I think I got a pic of that, amen, at least one of the pics, to kind of give you a visual of it. Hallelujah. Sound booth, if you can show that little pic of an umbrella that I put up there, amen. And if they can't, just imagine it in your mind, an umbrella, amen. And while you're under the umbrella, you are safe from the rain. You're safe from the heat of the sun, amen. So it is in our lives. We teach our children, amen, stay under the umbrella of authority. And the big umbrella is God. You obey him. You love him. Amen. You don't break his laws and his commandments. Amen. Hallelujah. But the next umbrella under that would represent your parents. Amen. And whenever you get out from the umbrella of God's laws, whenever you get out of the umbrella of your parents, your safety can't be guaranteed. It can't be guaranteed. Amen. And a lot of the times, God will show us grace and mercy. How many people in here, like myself, got under the umbrella growing up? Amen. We got from under the umbrella. You see what I'm saying? Got from under the umbrella. Didn't listen well. Went places I wasn't supposed to go. Amen. Did things I wasn't supposed to do. Amen. And God kept me. Amen. God kept me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, God, I'm only here today because of his grace and his mercy. Amen. Anybody could say that, amen? How many bad things could have happened to us, y'all? Out there in that club. Amen. Playing with fire like we was playing. Listen to me. Hallelujah. His grace and his mercy. You see, but the problem with mercy is that the Bible says, God give mercy to whom he will and when he will. And it's something that, amen, he's good, but he not going to always continually extend mercy, especially when you're not listening. And so every once in a while when you get out, he's going to say, all right, all right, all right, all right. I'm good. All right, I give you that. All right. But you keep on playing, amen, jumping out in that street, coming out from the umbrellas, amen. And sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. It's going to catch up with you now. And I'm talking, amen, to our youngsters, amen, getting out from the umbrella of their parents, amen. I don't watch, amen, kids get bumped by cars, amen, just not being where they're supposed to be. Getting abducted, not being where they're supposed, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. All right? But it's not just the kids tonight, y'all. It's not just the kids. Hallelujah. Let me talk to the women of God here tonight for a little while. Amen. Your husband is a covering for you. And when you don't operate under, hallelujah, the realm of that covering, amen, there's no way to protect you. Before you do something, amen, hallelujah, listen, hey God, what is it to get with your husband and discuss it? What is it? What is that? It's nothing. Yeah, you want the car. Yeah, you want the house. Yeah, you want to do that. But what is it just to discuss it? To give God a chance to speak to you? Because that's what it's about. Yeah, it's not really about your husband. It's about God. And your husband, amen, is one of, amen, the people, hallelujah, that God can speak through to get your attention. Because what if what you're about to do is not the way God wants you to go? What if that purchase is not what God wants you to purchase? What if that job is not the job God wants you to take? But pastor, I got my degree in it. But God know who at that job and how they going to tempt you. And this going to happen and that going to happen. But when you get out from the covering, amen, problems can happen. All right? Now it's quiet in here, y'all. It's quiet. Y'all don't want to hear nothing. Y'all done put your head down. Y'all doodling. Y'all. I don't like his head too much after all. All I'm saying is, before you move, the Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counsel. That's what the Bible says, man. You know? Stay under the umbrella. Once y'all come together and make a decision, you could run like Herschel Walker. You could run like Alvin Kamara. Listen, you could do whatever you want. Once y'all come together, come with a consensus. It's strengthened that. All right? And you can move without doubt. You could put all your weight behind it then. You see? Because you done got the blessing. And if y'all wrong, y'all going to be wrong together. You know what I'm saying? And God going to give you grace with that. Oh, you got to hear me up in here. You got, whoo, baby, they don't want to hear it. Just a little discussion. All right? And man of God, you got to learn how to stand the authority as well. All right? You got to stand the God's authority. You got to stay under the job's authority. You got to stay under the ecclesiastical authority. Amen. It's not just the women that have to, that's under authority, no. It's the men. And let me give you a little word right here, man of God. All right? Woman of God, y'all close your ears for a second. I'm joking. All right? A lot of the times, God will show you through your wife how rebellious you are. You be messing around talking about, but she don't listen to me, and she don't ever talk. She always going the opposite way. God said, ha, ha. Now you know how I feel. You start listening to God, and she'll start listening to you. All right? And I don't mean that in a, like, listen to her in a slave way, but I mean that in a leadership way. All right? In a Christ biblical leadership way. All right? Man of God, listen. I'm just flowing in the spirit. All right? Let me see how I can put this. Learn to watch your relationship with your wife. Remember I say Sunday that trouble speaks to us? Trouble got a message. All right? One of the ways God talked with me, amen, is through my relationship with my wife. And if I'm neglecting him or if I'm not as on fire for him, like I'm ought, if I'm not praying as much as I should be, if I'm not reading as much as I should be, if I'm not intimate with him as much as I should be, amen, hallelujah, then me and my wife relationship usually don't be at optimal level. Are y'all with me here so far? Use it as a sign. Use it as a sign. Y'all go home and it's rocky. Y'all can't communicate. Y'all can't even hear each other. You know, y'all in the kitchen, y'all standing right by each other, can't hear each other. What you say? Huh? What? Huh? Something in the air between y'all. It's a sign. Get back in the prayer closet. It's a sign. Whenever you last open up your Bible. It's a sign whenever you spend some time with me. I'm going to go deeper. Y'all ready to go deeper? Y'all ready to go deeper? But Lord, she don't want to hug me, no affection. She don't want to be close to me, alone with me, intimate with me. God will tell you, when was the last time you was close to me? Well, somebody got the revelation. They love like about to go crazy right now. Amen. Yeah, get close to God. She gonna want to be close to you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! I don't know where we was. We just gonna have to just pick up somewhere. Amen. Yeah. Rebellion ends off in a pit. Look, Job 36:11. The Bible says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. That's what God said. If you obey me, if you rock with me, amen, you'll spend your days in prosperity and in godly pleasure. Verse 12, but if they obey not, if they rebel, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. If they rebel, amen, God will judge. You know, rebellion has been in our scripture since the very beginning. And every single one, amen, that rebels end up either in a pit awesome judgment. Satan, the first rebel, is going to end up in a pit. Adam and Eve, the second rebellion, got kicked out of the garden. Cain, the third rebellion, became a vagabond, amen, and a wanderer. As I look at my Bible all throughout, I see the effects of rebellion, right? The other thing is not only that rebellion against God will get you in a pit and judgment, but when you rebel against people that God done ordained in your life, it's not going to work out. I think of Korah rebelling against Moses. The Bible said that the earth opened up and swallowed them. Rebellion ends up in a pit is what I'm talking about here. I think about, amen, when they would rebel against the prophets of the Most High God. God say, I sent prophets to you. Rising up early, staying up late. Amen. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, amen. Micah, amen. It didn't matter who he sent, but the people of God always rebelled against the voice of Almighty God. And Stephen is going to echo this in Acts. He said, and he's talking to the Hebrews, and I'm talking to the Hebrews tonight. He said, you that always resist the Holy Ghost. You're stiff-necked, amen? Stiff-necked, hard-hearted, rebellious type of a people. That's why I think this word is rhema for us tonight. Because the Hebrews have always been rebellious. Rebellious, not just to God, amen, the person of God, Ms. Chancey, but the godly leadership that he set over us. It's been always the case. But I'm hoping that in this second Exodus, this second awakening, that we would get it right as a people. And we would not rebel. Amen? And while I'm talking about that, listen, I understand that they got some people talking about pastor on YouTube. And y'all text me sometime and say, Pastor, look what he done say. Y'all doing that. Y'all go burn Pastor up and I'm going to get on there and cut up. Yeah, I'm classy, but I'm hood. You understand what I'm saying? And y'all don't want the hood to come out of me. So what I do is I don't really listen to that. I don't look at that. All right? All right? And my hopes is that you wouldn't look at that either. You know what I'm saying? All right? You know, and I'm not going to talk about who's saying it because it really don't matter. It's a reflection of who we are as a people. Because when God's trying to do something in his own people, opposition from our own people come up against us. You understand what I'm saying? Like if you really understood that we were Hebrews and that we were brothers, why in the world would you ever put your mouth on me or on anybody else when we're trying to help one another out? What in the world is wrong with you? You don't love the people like you claim to love the people. You only love yourself and your message and where you're going, because if you was really down with your people, you would never come against your people. And I'm not going to mention y'all name. I'm not going to say that because I love y'all. And y'all my people. You know what I'm saying? And it's my hope that you would understand that. You see, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We got bigger enemies and bigger fish to fry than to be fighting against one another. You see, once we defeat the enemy, then we can draw a line and hash out our differences between ourselves. But how in the world are we going to come against each other right now? Negro, you don't know what's at stake. You don't understand what's going on. It's bigger than just me and you. You know what I'm saying? Stop all of that. That's that rebellion. God is doing something mighty in the earth in his people. Stop talking about how he's doing it and jump on board. We'll settle the particulars later, man. I'm not putting my mouth on you, man. That's that Jim Crow stuff, man. You still in the prison of your mind, dog. All right, I'm going hood. I'm going hood. I'm going. Rebellion. Rebellion. We've always done it, y'all. Stephen going to testify, we come against Moses, we went against this, we went against that. And when even our Messiah came, went against him. You know? Man. So Philly fam, you ain't got to look at that. Don't look at that. All right? We got work to do, man. All right? We got a nation to build up. All right? So this rebellion, amen, it's been on us bad. Amen. And on a deeper level, when I talk about rebellion ends in a pit, I want to take it spiritual for a second. I want to go deeper because it's not just about judgment and chastisement on your life and you not being all that you could be. Amen. But it's also about your eternal destination, right? Because if you live a life of rebellion with no repentance, no change, amen, it's not going to end up good for you. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it doesn't specify which sin, because it's any of them. It's any of them. If you operating in continual, habitual, uninterrupted, unrepented sin, it's indicative that you don't have a new heart. It's indicative that, hey, God, you're not born again. You see, because if we're born again, we don't operate in continual sin. We don't operate in uninterrupted sin. It don't mean that we don't fall. Yeah, we fall, but we get back up. The righteous man falleth 7 times, but he get back up. But when you see in your life uninterrupted, continual, and habitual sin with no repentance and conviction upon your soul, I'm telling you, it's indicative, amen, that you're still in the bonds of iniquity. You're still unsaved. And it's any sin, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's fornication, amen, hallelujah. Listen. When we're born again, amen, sheep fall in the mud, but we don't stay in the mud. And we don't like to be in the mud. But when you find yourself comfortable in sin, when you find yourself comfortable in rebellion or any other sin, right, it means that you're not a sheep yet, right? It means that you're not one of his just yet. Right? And if you live a life of rebellion against these quadrants of authority and amen, all you do is just come against the people God set over you. Amen. You got to really question, God, do I get this gospel thing? Have I really invited you into my life? Are you really living on the inside of me? Because if you were, amen, you would have convicted me by now and I would have stopped what I was doing. Or anybody hear me up in here? That's what 1 John say. 1 John say, if we say we know him and we walk in darkness, well, we continually just walk in darkness. The Bible say we lie and we know not the truth. If we practice rebellion, we're not just going to end up in a pit like Absalom in the wood of Ephraim. We're not just going to end up in a pit like Absalom in a ditch on the side of the world. No, there's a worse pit than that we're going to end up in. I'm talking about the pit of Sheol. I'm talking about the abyss. I'm talking about hell. All right? And the Bible corroborates that as we look at Romans 13, amen. Go straight to verse 2. Romans 13, verse 2. It tells us clearly. The Bible says, whosoever therefore resisted the power. Who we really resisted? Hallelujah. We resist in the ordinance of who? Of God. But then it tells us what we're going to receive. For being so rebellious. And they that resist shall receive to themselves what? Damnation. Right? And what that word damnation is in the Greek is final judgment. It's final judgment. It's the sentence from a high court. And what I'm saying is if you don't get this rebellion right, amen, God will throw down the gavel of heaven and the pit going to open up on the side. It's going to be weeping and gnashing the teeth. Somebody say, Lord, deal with rebellion in my heart. Come on, give him some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to move on to our fourth point. Amen. And I just want to say this. If you have friends in your life that's rebellious, don't even rock with them. Don't even rock with them. Don't rock with them. You should be able to see it. You should be able to see them rebelling against authority. You see? Why don't rock with them? Well, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Don't be surprised with, amen, who you hang with, you begin to pick up their ways. Right? For the young person, amen, you're rocking with somebody that don't respect their parents, amen, it's only a matter of time when you stop respecting yours. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Right? If you're a woman of God, you're hanging around somebody who ain't got no respect for their husband. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't be surprised when that stuff doesn't jump on you. All right? If you come into a church and you ain't had no problem with church leadership, you start rocking with people, amen, that always got to complain about something that we're doing. They're going to talk about my head tonight when they leave. I did it just for them. All right? Don't rock with them people, man. Don't rock with them people, man. Stay away from that. The Bible says, 2 Thessalonians, amen, to stay away from any of the brothers that act disorderly, Thessalonians, see? Rebellious. You see? You stay away from that. You know? Stay away from that. Hallelujah. Why? Because, look, they're not only going to sink themselves, they're going to sink you. You see, Jonah rebelled against God. And Jonah got on the boat. And everybody that was on the boat with Jonah was going down until they threw Jonah overboard. Somebody say, throw him overboard. Look at your neighbor and say, throw him overboard. Yeah. Throw them rebellious people out your life. Throw them overboard. Not really, no, y'all. Not really. Not really. Pastor, you said. But get them out your life is what I'm saying. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Fourth point, rebellion leaves us without a legacy. Rebellion leaves us with a fool's legacy. All right? Rebellion leaves us with a fool's legacy. It comes out of verse 18, amen. The Bible says, now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which was in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. All right? So what we have here is that Absalom built a structure, the Bible says, in the king's dale. A dale is a valley. So it says in the king's valley. One of the kings named the valley after himself. And for those who don't know, it's the valley of Jehoshaphat. In the valley of Jehoshaphat, Absalom built him a structure to be remembered by. In fact, that structure is still in our land to this day. All right? That's Absalom's structure in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Y'all have, yeah, that's a good picture of it. You can go see it. Amen. It's there. In fact, some Bible commentators say that he built it, amen, as a tomb for himself, that when he would die, he would be placed in it. Amen. Boy, let me tell you something. Many are the plans of a man's heart, huh? He built himself this elaborate tomb so people can come and look at him. But God said, nah, you ain't going to end up there. You're going to end up in a ditch, you know? So Absalom built this structure in the king's dale. Why did he build it? The Bible says he said that I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. Now, for those that know their Bibles, amen, when we was talking about Absalom before, amen, there was a bit of a contradiction there because I was reading it, Jen, and I said, wait, I remember going through and Absalom did have some children. He did have a son or two or three. And as we look at, amen, 2 Samuel 14, amen, the Bible tells us, and unto Absalom there were born, how many? Three sons and one daughter, whose name was Tamar, amen. He named his daughter after his sister who was forced, amen, by their brother, amen, Amnon. She was a woman of fair countenance. So here we have, amen, the Bible saying that Absalom had three sons. And then Absalom here, while he's king, building this structure, saying, I'm building this to remember my name because I don't have no sons. What happened to Absalom's sons? What happened to his sons? It's not that the Bible is contradicting itself. No, God don't contradict himself. No. The Bible has a hidden message right here. Right? You see, commentators tell us that all Absalom's sons were killed. All of them died. And I want to tell you here for a second. Rebellion not only affects your life, it will affect the lives of your children as well. All right? We know the way God operates, y'all. When we sin, amen, you think that sin, hallelujah, just gonna affect us? Oh, no. That's not God's character. As we look at Exodus 34, amen, the Bible tells us in verse 7. Y'all there yet? Let's see, Exodus 34:7. Look God's character. Keeping mercy for what? For thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's the good part of God. If you come to him, hey, God, he'll forgive you. All right? He'll forgive you. Amen? And that will by no means clear the guilty. If you don't come, that guilt going to stay on you. And it's not only going to stay on you, he going to visit the iniquity. And he not only visit the iniquity, hallelujah, on you, but he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon who? Upon the children. Ooh! That means what you do against God, your children can suffer for it. Anybody love their children in here? Then stop playing with God. All right? And stop rebelling against authority. And the funny thing about that is, it's iniquity of the fathers upon the children, that's one generation, and upon the children's children, that's two generations. And God said, if you think it's just two, unto the third and the fourth generation. Now listen, man, come on, God. You mean to tell me if I play with you and clown with my life, that it's going to affect my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren? That's how serious he is about this. That's how serious he is about this. And since Absalom rebelled against God, listen to me now. Listen to me. God took his sons away. He took his sons away. All right? You say, Pastor, God would never do that. You don't know the God we serve. You don't know the God we serve. That's why the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into his hand. You think God playing? God not the Easter Bunny? All right? There's even some that talk about there's children of his daughter. Tamar? Yeah, Tamar had some children. You see? When you study your Bible, she had a daughter named Maacah who married one of the kings, Rehoboam. And they had a son, Abijam, who was a fool, who was wicked, who didn't get all the blessings. So God's word stands true. The children, the children's children. He gonna judge it. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. So y'all, he built a structure to be remembered by. That when people would pass by, amen, they would say, there's great King Absalom's a memorial. And his heart was, Ms. Kim, that people would pass and honor him for being such an awesome king and having built this great structure, that they would remember him and reverence and respect him until the end of days. All right? But when we rebel against God, the legacy that we think we're going to have, we don't have. We'll get the very opposite of that. And historians tell us, Josephus tell us, that the Hebrews, they kept the structure up, but not in honor of Absalom. They kept the structure up to teach their children, don't ever be a fool like Absalom. And every time they would pass in the valley, they would take a rock and throw it upon destruction in remembrance of the heap of stones that was put upon Absalom when he was thrown in the ditch. And they say, let all who rebel against their parents end up like Absalom. The very legacy he thought he would leave because of rebellion, he left the opposite. A fool's legacy. I wonder who I'm talking to tonight. I wonder who got that rebellion running deep in their veins. I wonder who could look at their life and see, I did not listen to parents, and I'm not doing a good job with my husband, and I don't do good on the job. I rebel and kick against the gold of everything that's going on. And I'm not even doing my God right. I wonder who I'm talking to tonight. The good thing about sin, amen, it can be repented of. And the good thing about God, he'll forgive it. And the Bible says when we confess our sin to him, that he is faithful and just not only to forgive us of our sins, but to purge us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Tonight, God will not only forgive you, but he'll clean you up. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you before we go, saints. Amen. I just want to pray with you. We're going to pray the sinner's prayer. And we're going to ask God to make us one. Not only in this house, but as a people. That however he would end the rebellion in us all together. All together. You see? Judah Maccabee, in the book of the Maccabees, he was amazed at the Romans. He said in the Maccabee books, he said, I don't understand the Romans, the Greeks. He said, their leaders don't backstab. Their people don't backstab their leaders. Their people not envious and jealous of their leaders. Their people follow their leaders all the way. Judah Maccabee, a Hebrew, say, I got to go down there and see how they do it. He went to see how the Romans lead and how the Europeans follow their leaders. But he ain't came back with an answer. I'm praying that God will change our hearts, y'all. And that rebellion would end. Even though we don't agree 100% with somebody, we can concur. God done sent them. Let's get behind them. And let's see if we can change the world. Pray with me tonight. Say, Yahweh. Thank you. For being so patient with us. We repent of our stiff neck and our rebellious heart. We need you to give us a new heart and a new start. We want to follow you in all the leadership that you ordain in our nation. Kill, Lord, the backbiting. Kill, Lord, the division. Make us one as you are one. We confess our sins and admit that we are not perfect. But we believe in a perfect Savior. We believe he lived. We believe he died. And we believe he rose again. Lord, save me, a sinner, and use me for your glory and for your people in these last days. Whatever's wrong with me, I give you permission and license to fix it. Fill me with your spirit. And fill me with your word. Fill me with your love, that I might love you and love your people. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If y'all stand, we'll do a little benediction and get on out of here. Amen, hallelujah. Yeah, y'all don't watch them boys. Ain't gonna do nobody no good. Let them talk. They talked about Jesus. We're gonna pray for them. And hopefully they get a revelation that we want. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Peace in your body. Peace in your home. Peace and prosperity upon you. Bless coming in. Bless going out. I pray he fulfill your dreams. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. What's up, Cornelius T? How's everything, man?